Reading from God's holy word, first in the Hebrew scriptures, we're reading from the very first chapter of the prophet Isaiah. And so we know that this is the first prophet Isaiah, and he was foretelling all the things that were going to come, not only to Israel, but also to Judah. We read the first verse, and then we'll get into some of his prophecy. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. I remember this one. Multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to me, says the Lord? I have more than enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fattened animals. That's right. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. When you come to appear before me, who has asked this of you, this trampling of my courts? Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moons, Sabbaths, and convocations, I cannot bear your evil assemblies. I remember this. Your new moon festivals and your appointed feasts my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Even if you offer many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash. Make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Encourage the oppressed. Defend the cause of the fatherless. Plead for the case of the widow. Come now. Let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best from the land. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. I'm choosing to read our Hebrew scripture. The page in there is for the Pew Bible, but I read our Pew Bible, and I know this New Revised Standard Version word in a way that it just speaks to me, and I think many of us might recognize it from growing up with the Revised Standard Version as well. So here it's from the letter to the Hebrews. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that were not seen. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, he received power of proclamation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven and the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith without having received the promises. But from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth, for people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. And our gospel lesson today comes from the gospel according to Luke. We're in the 11th chapter. We're continuing right from where we left off last week. We're beginning at verse 32. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourself that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. May we be blessed to hear the word of the Lord. Let us pray. O God, I ask that you bless now the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts, that it might be acceptable to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I haven't often put a sermon title in the bulletin. It's a habit of not putting titles in bulletins that I started about my third year of preaching, because what I think the title is on Sunday when I prepare the order of worship oftentimes is not what the sermon's about by Saturday. And it got to be kind of confusing. But on the 21st, Jill will be with us, Reverend Bob Holtz, and she's had a sermon title, and I thought, well, okay, so let's see if I can have sermon titles for August. We don't know. We'll see where it goes, right? So bear with me. But last week, I talked at the end of the sermon about being rich toward God. Rich toward God. And when we're rich toward God, we have an orientation toward the whole of life, to see it as an abundant gift from a generous God, everything that we have been blessed with, a gift that then can be given away with generosity or abandon or joy or hope. So being rich toward God involves then being generous in spirit, opening our perceptions toward God, God's generosity, God's presence, and being at the very edge of awareness of the places where we've turned away in our focus, our energy. Jesus just picked right up. He kept on going. It's only us who drew the line from one Sunday to the next. He's still teaching, and he's continuing in the same thought. And he says, do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You don't just love that? Little flock. I spent yesterday in Janesville. We had our hospice camp for kids who have lost loved ones and are grieving. And it's a long day, but it's a wonderful day. It just is. And one of our volunteers, who was a buddy for the day, absolutely wonderful. Oh, they're all wonderful. But this one, you know, is just into retirement enough that she's a grandma, maybe getting close to being a great grandma. I'm not sure. She was buddied with a seven-year-old. And she just said, okay, here, little one, you know? Because if the name tag wasn't there, it was hard to know what the name was until later on in the day and you got used to it. But she said, "Here, little one." And she said it with just such love and joy. It just made you feel good. I wanted to be her little one. I wanted her to come up to me and say, "Come here, little one. Let's go get lunch." You know, it was great. And I could see Jesus saying that, "Little flock, my little lambs, my little ones, know this about the kingdom of God. Don't be afraid. Because God's got good things." We should be drawn, and hopefully we are as Christians, to making the good things of God, the kingdom of God, our priority. Jesus said, "Don't go after purses that wear out. Go after purses that cannot be worn out. Don't go after treasure that can be decayed, that the moths will eat. It'll be devoured and lost in this life. But instead, go after the treasure of God. Rich toward God. Go after the treasure of God." I don't know about y'all, my pension isn't huge. And I get the little brochure every quarter from the United Church of Christ Pension Board, and it shows how much I made or how much I lost in the last quarter. You know, there's excitement. I got a scholarship when I graduated from theological school, because I opened a pension account and they gave me $500 and it sounded really amazing. And all these decades later, it's worth $800 now. I'm so excited. It's like, wow. I don't know. I think that might go to the grocery store by the time I retire. I could get fixated on it. I have the capacity within me to worry about things like that. I don't know about you. What do you worry about? What are the places that give you fear, anxiety, take away from the joy of living today? What are the places that are your stressors? Children, grandchildren, are they going to turn out okay? You know? My brother shared with me that his youngest daughter, my niece Sierra, just got back from working at orphanages in Africa this summer at part of her internship at Duke University. And she sent a text message from one of her layovers flying home with very specific instructions. He and his wife were to arrive with many large trash bags and clothes, one outfit. She would meet them at this location at Denver International Airport. They were supposed to put the clothes down and go far, far away. They were also to leave the trash bags right there by the clothes. You're all looking puzzled. I'm listening to him on the story. I said, "Are you just being dramatic, old calm one?" He says, "I've never experienced anything like this in my life." The reason was capital letters all the way across. B-E-D-B-U-G. S. All her luggage got tied up in trash bags. She ran into the bathroom, changed her clothes, tied up the clothes she'd traveled in, shoes, everything, purse, the whole bit, in the trash bags. And she really just wanted to throw them all out, but they didn't have a garbage can big enough at DIA. It was a good experience for her to focus on caring for others. Sunday evening through Saturday morning, they slept on dirt floors at the orphanage. And then once a week, a bus would come and take them into the city where they would stay in a hotel that was well used and filled with bed bugs, where they got their one shower for the week. She left with too many belongings. She came home ready to get rid of all of them. Yeah. Because it wasn't about the belongings. I think her time in Africa changed her. We don't have to go to Africa to be rich toward God, and we don't have to deal with bed bugs to realize that we get anxious and fear-filled about some things that aren't really as important as other things. Jesus says, be awake. Watch. Watch for the coming of God. It will be God's good pleasure to find you attentive. Maybe it's not that we fall asleep. Maybe it's that we get distracted with those things that make us anxious, those things that become a bigger priority. If we're rich toward God, if we embrace the faith that God's Holy Spirit has given us, that's called us here, then our first priority is to know God and to serve God and to be mindful that at any moment, God will come. Now, at the beginning of the week, my focus was on what are we doing to live into the promise of faith, the promise of the kingdom to come, the promise of our discipleship. But at the end of the week, I realized that it's really not about our action at all. It's about God's action. It's about God's pleasure in our presence. It's about God's joy in the kingdom, which gives to us all more than we need, which celebrates upon arrival and serves us that feast, a gracious event, an invitation to be present, to receive all that God pours out upon us. May God continue to act in our lives today and in all the days to come. Amen.